I would, as Brother Cruz said, also like to take this opportunity to thank those of you who are in attendance tonight with us, and also like to take this opportunity to thank the elders for this opportunity to speak to you. It's a great opportunity for me, and I hope that all of you who receive this opportunity to preach will use it to the best of your ability. If you will, as a text for my lesson tonight, will you turn to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts? I'll be reading about the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch, reading from the 26th down through the 39th verse. And I will be reading from the New American Standard Version. Beginning in verse 26, "But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert road. And he arose and went, and behold, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And when he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and was sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah, and the Spirit said to Philip, Go up and join this chariot. And when Philip had run up, he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, Do you understand what you were reading? And he said, Well, how could I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is not silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. As they went along their road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more." Philip was an evangelist who was following the commandment of Christ to teach and to baptize, as we find in Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 18 through 20. "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Philip did not know the Ethiopian eunuch, but he seized the opportunity when the angel of the Lord told him to go. We know from the reading that Philip taught the eunuch from Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, but we don't know word for word what it was that Philip taught him about Christ. My lesson will try to bring out some of the details which Philip might have taught the eunuch about Christ, and we'll try to make some application from this conversion for those who have not obeyed the gospel and for us as Christians as well. What were some of the things that Philip taught the Ethiopian eunuch about Christ? First of all, he might have taught him about the prophecy of the birth of Christ, as we find recorded in Isaiah, the 7th chapter, and in the 14th verse. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted means God with us. And we find this prophecy being fulfilled in the birth of Christ in the book of Matthew, the 1st chapter, and also in the book of Luke, the 2nd chapter. Also, he might have taught him about the baptism of Christ, as we find recorded in Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verses 16 and 17. "And after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. And behold, a voice out of the heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He might have taught him about some of the early lessons or some of the early teachings of Christ, as when Jesus was talking with Nicodemus in the 3rd chapter of the book of John, in the 1st through the 5th verses. "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him by night and said, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no man can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So we can see from this particular passage that Jesus was teaching Nicodemus of the difference between the physical birth and the spiritual birth in baptism. Also, Philip might have taught the eunuch about God's great love, as we find recorded in John, the 3:16-17, where it reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world through but the world should be saved through him." He probably also taught him about the Sermon on the Mount, which we have recorded in Matthew, the 5th through the 7th chapters, but especially where he was talking about in the 7th chapter of Matthew, in verses 21 through 27, where it reads there, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice iniquity. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and yet did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." He probably also taught the eunuch about the great miracles which Jesus performed. In Matthew, the 14th chapter, verses 19 through 21, we find the great miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 which Jesus performed. Beginning in verse 19, "And ordering the multitudes to recline on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food, and breaking the loaves, he gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up what was left over, the broken pieces, 12 full baskets. And there were about 5,000 men who ate, aside from the women and children." He probably also taught him about the great healing which Jesus did on the blind man who had been blind from birth, as we have recorded in John, the 9th chapter, verses 1 through 11. "And as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Jesus answered, It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes and said to him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. And so he went away and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, Is not this the one who used to sit and beg? Others were saying, This is he. Still others were saying, No, but he is like him. He kept saying, I am the one. Therefore they were saying to him, How then were your eyes open? And he answered, The man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said, Go to Siloam and wash. And I received my sight." He also probably taught him about the great raising of the dead of Lazarus that we have recorded in John, the 11th chapter, verses 43 and 44. "And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go." He also probably taught him about the betrayal of Christ, as we have recorded Matthew, the 26th chapter, verses 53 through 56. And it hit this point, Jesus had already been betrayed by Judas for 30 pieces of silver, and the soldiers had come to take him away. In verse 53, "Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? How then shall the scripture be fulfilled that it must happen this way? At that time, Jesus said to the multitudes, Have you not come out with swords and clubs to arrest me, as against a robber? Every day I used to sit in the temple teaching you, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place, that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled. Then all his disciples left him and fled. From this particular series of verses, we can see that Jesus was betrayed for a simple series of 30 pieces of silver, and at any time, Jesus could have called up to 12 legions of angels, which was equal to 6,000. But he let them take him away to fulfill the prophecy. He probably also taught him about the crucifixion and death on Calvary of Jesus, as we have recorded in John, the 19th chapter, verses 28 through 37. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had been, Jesus at this point had already been crucified and he was on the cross. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. The Jews, therefore, because it was the day of preparation, so that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath day was a high day, asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. The soldiers, therefore, came and broke the legs of the first man and of the other who were crucified with him. But coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately there came out blood and water. And he who has seen has borne witness, and his witness is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may also believe. For these things came to pass that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Not a bone of him shall be broken. And again, another scripture said, "They shall look upon him whom they pierced." And after these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but a secret one for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate granted permission, and he came therefore and took away his body. Again, we see the scripture was fulfilled. He then probably also taught the eunuch about the resurrection of Jesus and how that Jesus appeared again unto his disciples before he ascended back into heaven. In John, the 20th chapter, verses 27 through 31, we see the unbelief of Thomas, one of the apostles. In this particular passage, it reads, "Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach here your finger and see my hands. Reach here your hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing.' Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believe. Many other signs, therefore, Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name." And also, where Christ commissioned his disciples, which we've already read in Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 18 through 20. And also where Jesus talked to his disciples again in Mark's account, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and who has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Finally, Philip probably taught him about the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem and Peter's great sermon where the Jews were pricked in their hearts and they finally cried out in Acts, the 2nd chapter, in verse 37, "Men and brethren, what must we do to be saved?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." What applications can we learn from a lesson like this? First of all, we can see it only took one period of study for the Ethiopian eunuch to want to obey the gospel. Secondly, we can see that a baby or an infant could not have understood what Philip taught and believed, so that they are not candidates for baptism. Third, the eunuch knew that water was essential for salvation, as we find recorded in Acts 8 and verse 36. Fourth, Philip told him that he must believe with all his heart, and the eunuch confessed Christ, as we find recorded in verse 37. Fifth, Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. The word baptized coming from the Greek word baptizo, which means to immerse. So we know from that it did not mean sprinkling or pouring. And for us as Christians, we must seize any opportunity or chance that we have to evangelize and to teach those that are lost. In conclusion, we know that Philip taught the eunuch about Jesus, his life, his teachings, his miracles, his death, and his resurrection. He taught how Jesus was despised and rejected of men for the things that he taught, how he was not esteemed of men, how Christ was tormented for our sins, how Jesus taught of men as sheep gone astray, and how Jesus carried the sins of man to the cross. During his trial, Jesus did not argue or defend himself because he knew he must die to take away the sins of the world. And finally, how Jesus was crucified on the cross for the sin of mankind, and his blood was shed for us. This time you will be given the same opportunity as the Ethiopian eunuch had, except in most cases, most of you have heard the gospel many hundreds of times. And the Ethiopian eunuch, it only took him one time or one lesson to obey the gospel. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Also in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, in the 9th verse, we find there that it says, "There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God." The rest referred to in these two passages is a rest with God in eternity, our souls free from sin to spend in eternity with Christ and God in heaven above. We don't have to travel in a chariot as the eunuch did down the road to find water. We have the baptistry which is here and is prepared for those of you who might wish to obey the gospel and be baptized tonight. Won't you heed the gospel call and come tonight? Will you? Won't you? While we stand and while we sing.